You turn in your Bibles this morning. We're going to go to 1 Chronicles 16, starting at verse 23. I want to add my own praise cards to the group. For those of you that know or may not know, a few weeks ago, about a month ago, my wife and I moved with our four children. We took our four children with us. They make you. It's a law. We had moved, and if you've never moved with children or four children, I'd advise it. It's a good time and something that everyone should aspire to do. The other thing is that just the milkshake trailer, we just had a fantastic year, and just thanks to everybody that helped with that and helped with our move and also just helped with the milkshake trailer. I feel like October is like a big, giant breath for me. So just to have that behind us, it's always a challenge going into those things. It's fantastic coming out the other side and counting the money. So I don't know if that's how you live your life, but yeah. We're going to read 1 Chronicles 16, starting at verse 23. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord all the families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let's pray. Father, great are you. Mighty is your name. Worthy are you, Father. Holy are you in this place, lifted up. Glorious. Father, there's nothing we can say to add to you. Great are you. Great are you. Thank you. Amen. Do any of you ever bargain with God? I've got this big problem. So like God, like if I read like five chapters in the Bible and I pray for like an hour, will you come through? Will you show up? Will you help me out? Every pastor and preacher has kind of their own way of preparing. And oftentimes what I will do is I will spend time worshiping and praying and reading the Bible verse that we're going to be focused on. And when I feel inspired and I feel like God has set me free, I go and I begin to write whatever I feel like God is supposed to say. And I realized this week that I was bargaining with God. So on Wednesday of this week, I had set aside my time to write the sermon. And so I spent time praying and worshiping, and like I was like it was building, right? I'm like jacked. I'm like, all right, God, I'm going to say this. And I got all this stuff, and so I'm in a sanctuary here because God's in here. So that's where I should be. No, please don't follow that. And I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go. And so I'm going to go to my office, and I'm going to type as fast as I can so before I forget anything. And so I head out, and I go over, and I'm like, all right. And God's like, no. I'm sorry, but did you see me in the sanctuary? I was in there. I was doing stuff. And God's like, no, not today. But God, I have time. I set aside time. I've learned in the past that you don't just go ahead with things like this, because if you do, God's going to make you all throw it away anyway, so you might as well just go do something else. So I went and did something else, because I'm like, all right, God, there's a better day to do this. And so Thursday rolls around, and I'm working from home on Thursday, and Thursday just wasn't going well for me. I had to have an embarrassing conversation for a mistake that I had made. And I was really mulling over my head and regretting this lesson that I had taught the youth on Sunday night. And I was feeling so stupid because I felt like it bombed. Or maybe it was just the fact that I was doing all this cleaning and I'm doing all this busy work trying to do things for my wife to show her that I love her. And so I'm really focused on that. Or maybe it's the fact that I'm just fighting off the same stupid sin that I continue to fight off, and it's wearing me down and it's wearing me out, and I'm just not in the right place. And so a little bit before the boys come home, and I got two kids taking a nap, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to go get the mail. And I head to go get the mail, and walking to the mailbox, God goes, are you ready to get the mail? Like, what am I ready for? What was I supposed to be preparing for all day because I haven't been doing it? And God's like, are you ready? And I'm like, no, I'm not ready for anything. And it felt very clearly that God said, I'm going to give you your sermon now. And I'm like, but I don't want it now. The kids are coming home soon. And I still have a few things I'd like to do. And now's not really a good time for me. So put a pin in that story for a moment. We're going to come back to that. So some of you may know the context of the story that we just read in 1 Chronicles. It's David, right? This is the Ark of the Covenant coming back to Jerusalem, entering into the tabernacle. This is the story where David strips down to his underoos and dances before God. Now, some of you, that may make you nervous, because maybe I have pulled a stunt before where I strip down. So just to assure you, I'm not going to strip down, I'm not going to dance wildly, but know that I have very little fear in life. And so if this sermon is not going well, that's what we're going back to, so that you will remember it. My question this morning is, why do you pray? Why do you worship? I pray and worship because, God, I need your help. Because, God, you've done so much for me, I can't help but worship. God, you've saved me, and I owe you everything, and because of those reasons, I will worship. And those are all great, awesome reasons. But it is not why David wrote this. What I read for you, if you realize, David never once mentions about God rescuing him or him being saved by God in some way or being delivered in a great battle. God is praised in these verses because of who he is. He's praised because he's God. Wow. So you mean that in church, I should praise God for simply who God is? And in my own prayer life, maybe that's how I should begin my prayers? God, you're great. You're mighty. Powerful is your name. Do you love your kids? And I see tons of kids in here. Do you love them simply because of what they add to your life? No. Because if that's the case, Penny is really not pulling her weight, and I'm sick and tired of this, I'm not going to love her anymore, and at 6 months, I really think she should be doing more around the house to help. No, of course not. Of course not. We don't love our children because of what they add to us. We love them because they are part of us. We love them simply because of them. They don't need a reason. We don't need a reason. They're not earning it from us. Did you love your parents because they clothed and fed you? Probably not. The government makes them do it. It's not a reason to love your parents. You love them because you love them. Not because they add something to your life, although they do. So thank you every once in a while, I wouldn't kill you. I see you young ones back there too. That was at you too. Of course you don't. You love your parents because they are part of you. You love them for them, even when they're difficult, even when they're hard to love, even when they do embarrassing things. And my kids don't sit in on my preaching yet, so they don't know. But you love them anyway. What about your spouse? Do you love your spouse because of what they add to your life? What they give you? Dear God, I hope not, because your marriage is destined to fail. You love them because of them. Deep down, wholly them. I love my wife not for what she can do for me, but simply because of who she is. And she loves me despite who I am. There's really two players in this story. And when you read, if you go back a few chapters, or you can also read it in 2 Samuel, the same account. And you read these two players, and I had to ask Pastor Brian how to say the name, and we looked it up on the super secret pastor website called Google. That's bad. Yes, we use Google. We have these two players, and one is David's wife, and it's Michal. Michal, it's the emphasis on the K there. Michal. And so she sees David praising God, and it says that in her heart, she despised him. Man, that's heavy. Our other person in this story is David. David, who loved God for who he was. And it says in 2 Samuel 6, 21 and 22, this is David speaking, "I will play music before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this. And I will be humiliated in my own eyes." I will be humiliated in my own eyes. David didn't care. Now, don't get me wrong, I find myself functioning like David's wife sometimes. I see people and I see their prayer life and I see how they connect with God and I see what they have and I am jealous of that. But in that moment, we have a choice. Do I despise that person for what they have from God, or do I use that jealousy and I will seek out and desperately seek God? And I want to become that person that's more undignified. I want to become that person. I am desperate to know who God is. So who are you in this story? That jealousy can overtake us and consume us, but when it's after knowing God, it's probably one of the healthiest things you can ever do. Knowing and desperately seeking out the Father. To know Him as David knew Him. That didn't care that he was going to dance in the streets in his underwear because he knew it was for the glory of God. Now let's go back to my story for 1 minute. And I'm on my way to the mailbox. My great adventure for the day. And I hear God say this, that we're going to write it now. And I'm broken because I'm like, God, I haven't done anything right today. And I'm not prepared for this. And in my spirit, I feel God say back, I'm giving this to you now because my love for you is not contingent on how your day is going or how good of a boy you've been or even how you feel towards me. My love for you is just for who you are. Wow. I had a moment at the mailbox trying not to cry, to keep myself together. Do I love God back the same way that He loves me? Do I praise and worship Him just because He's God, not because of all these things that He's done, and there are many? Do you love Him for love? God loves you not for what you've done or you said or how hard you work, but because you are His. He loves you just the way you are. And so our job is to turn around and to do that back to our Heavenly Father. How different would your prayer life be if you took just a few minutes in your prayer time and did nothing but praise God for how big and how great He is? I bet you we'd be a lot more joyful. We'd be a whole lot more excited about what God is doing, because inside of us would begin to well up this incredible excitement about how big our God is and that there is nothing that can squash what He's doing. Nothing can come against it. David loved God for God. He wasn't worried about the rules. He didn't care that you weren't allowed to dance or that you weren't allowed to strip down or to look stupid in front of other people. He didn't care about any of that. He only cared about worshiping His Father. He had a relationship and was driven to honor that relationship above his own. He honored his relationship with his Heavenly Father. It's not enough for David to just say he knew about God or to have knowledge about the Father. He wanted to experience God. So do you want to experience God? I don't know about you, but oftentimes when I come in to a prayer time, I have a list and I move through that list because I have a waffle brain. And so I go all the way through my list and then I can move on to my next accomplished thing. But I realize that at the onset and what I've been trying to do in my own life is to spend time praising God for just Him. Great are You, Lord, for everything You've done. For the earth that I get to stand on that is not moving. For the heavens that You've created. How great is Your God. Worthy of praise. It's hard for us to do that. But I truly believe deep down inside of me that if we were to do this regularly, if we treated God with the adoration that He deserves, I'm convinced it would change our lifestyles. You know, there's nothing, talking before the service, and I really, you know, there's nothing we can add to God, right? You realize that. There's nothing you can do to add to God. He is who He is, whether you're here or not. That's how great He is. You can't add anything to God. And yet, He asks us for that praise. And so you have to wonder why. Why would God ask us for us to praise Him if we add nothing to Him? And I think oftentimes it's simply to convince us in our psyches and who we are deep down that God is God above everything. He's so far above our situation. He's so far beyond everything that's happening in our lives. And so when we praise God for God's sake, we remember that. And it's like speaking health. It's like speaking life into your soul. And then when you come against a problem and you come against this, you recall, great is my God. Worthy of praise. There is no other God like my God. And we become like emboldened. Think about like the things that hype us up before you go into battle. I'm a guy, sorry. Before you go into like that battle, just that, that brings you to that place. Sometimes it's music, sometimes it's whatever. But if we start our days out like that, how incredible would we be? When something comes against you, like, you don't know nothing. You don't know my God. He's got it. Handled the business. My God is great. Worthy of all praise. I want to challenge you this week. I want to ask you to do something. I want to ask that before you pray, before you go into your times and your lists and even your thank yous for what God has done for you, take a minute. Do it for 1 minute. Try for 1 minute to do nothing but praise God for who He is. How revolutionary would this be? How incredible would it be? How much better would our days be? We are to be full of joy. Joy is not temporary. Joy is eternal. So we need to tap into some of that eternity. If the worship team can please come up. As we sing this last song, I'm going to ask you, as I asked in first service, I want you to own this. I want you to own the words you're singing. Do not simply sing because that's what you're supposed to do. Own the words that you're singing. And maybe that means in the middle of worship that you need to sing out something else that's not written. Maybe you need to cry out something that is in your soul about the greatness of God. And so do that. Take the moments of silence that are in the songs when it's just the music and there's no words. Take those moments and fill them with adoration. Your words, not someone else's. Yours. God wants to hear your words, your voice in this. Be encouraged. Your God is in love with you. Be in love with Him. He loves you for who you are. Love Him for who He is.